Good morning. There you are. So I had that awkward moment while we were singing that song. I love that song, and I was really into it, but I also knew I was about to get up here, and I'm trying to be conscious of people's time. So I wanted to check to see what time it was before I got up here. And so we're, you know, then sings my soul, and Courtney's beaming it out, and I'm going like this. And she looked right at me, I think. So, and I'm like, no, just, I'm not bored. That was awkward. So, I think there's a point of tension in every believer's life, whether it's early on or years down the road, that we realize we've been made new creations in Christ. And so we wrestle with, what do I have to change in my life to fit this new mold? Do I have to change something in my personality? Do I have to change something in my vocation? How do I live as a Christian from here forward? And for some, it hits right away. For others, it comes later. Some of us, we go through this the rest of our walk. And I believe that that's what Paul is speaking to this morning. Now, when Pastor John asked me if I would preach this morning, he asked me that last night. No, I'm just kidding. So when he asked me that several weeks ago, he said, we're going to be in chapter 7, and so look at those passages and pick which one you'd like to preach. And so I opted for the middle passage because the other two sections I didn't want to preach on because I just preached on that the last time. And I said, you know, if I get up there and every time I preach on that from in the future, when I get up, you guys are going to go, here we go again. And it would be kind of like a teen Bible study. So we didn't want to do that. But so here we are sandwiched between two sections where Paul's talking about how do you live now as a believer in your marriage, in your single life. He's going to talk about that again next week. And right here in the middle, he kind of generalizes it because he wants to bring attention to all of us. That it isn't just in the area of intimacy that we're going to need to wrestle with how we now live. It's going to be our whole life. So let's pray and we'll look to God for that guidance. Father, thank you for your word. Pray that you would speak to us this morning for your sake. Amen. So I've entitled the message this morning, A Call to Contentment. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Many of us aren't content in our lives. Because we're constantly wondering, is there something I need to change about myself or about where I work to really be a Christian? And sometimes it's from an influence on the outside. We hear a message, we read a book, and it tells us we need to be this, that, and the other thing. Sometimes it's an internal struggle. Maybe some baggage from the past. And I believe that what God wants us to be is content. He wants us to rest. As I was driving the other day, I was listening to hymns, believe it or not. And so I have this like 3-CD set, 100 hymns. And so I just popped it in. I just wanted to relax. And the song Trust and Obey came on. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in that moment, when I was listening to that song, I thought, there it is. There's the secret to the call of contentment. There's no formula. It's not 10% of this and 30% of that. It's a relationship. It's a walk. That's trust and obey. Let's read our text for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 to 24. You have it on your handout. It'll be up on the wall. Hopefully you have your Bible with you. Please open there. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 to 24. Paul says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. So I just want to point out five things to you, and I'll take about an hour for each. The first thing that I want us to notice is that God has a purpose and a calling for our lives. God has a purpose and a calling for our lives. And the rest of the message this morning is going to fit into this structure, that God has a purpose and a calling for our lives. And you'll notice in verse 17, Paul says, "Only let each person lead or retain the life that the Lord has assigned to him." See, God has assigned to each of us a certain life, a certain vocation, a certain place in which to live. And that word is more often rendered distributed. I think it sounds a little nicer, like Christmas time, when someone goes to the tree. No one says, "Now, Dad, I want you to assign the gifts." But we do say we want you to distribute the gifts, because it sounds nicer. We're doing the same thing. All right, this gift is for Billy. We're giving Billy the gift. But we're distributing it. And that's really what God has done for us, is for each and every one of us, He's distributed. He's assigned an area for us to work, for us to live, for us to have an influence. And Paul goes on and says, "And to which God has called him." So you'll notice, he says, lead the life the Lord has assigned to him, and to which he has called him. So there's a purpose that he's given us, and there's a calling that he's asking us to come forward to. Now, we went to the homecoming game on Friday night at Mahanasin, and they had a purpose. They had a purpose to play the football game. They had a purpose to win that football game. Each player was called to do their plays and execute them just in such a fashion. And obviously the goal was to win. Unfortunately, that did not happen. I'm not even sure the purpose or the calling was carried out in the game. And here's the reason I mention this. Sometimes we feel like in our Christian lives, all right, God's given me a purpose and a calling, and so every day we're stressed out. How do I do this? What if I fail? What if I miss the boat? Now see, for Mahanasin's football team, they could lose in the end. But for us as believers, we can never lose. Never. We might miss some steps along the way, but the reality is that at the end of the day, when Christ returns, or when we die, we will be victorious in Christ regardless. And so that to which God has called us is going to happen someday. The hope is that we'll get to enjoy the benefits of living that way today. So, God has a purpose and a calling for our lives. Well, number two, we are who we are on purpose. We are who we are on purpose. I don't always feel like that. sometimes when I think about my day and the things I've said or done, I think, man, was that an accident that he made me this way? But it's not. We're all made who we are on purpose. And I don't mean to embarrass you, Philip, but I'm going to do it anyway. This morning, I was walking through the cafe and I see Philip sitting on one of those beanbag things and he's slapping it and he's kicking it while he's sitting there. And then I'm thinking of some Sunday nights. I sat next to him and his leg is going and his arm. And I think about when he was at our open house and he's in our backyard going bonkers and my son's little car is flipped over and I'm like, oh, Philip was here. But here's the thing. And this happens a lot in schools. You know, we'll look at these kids and say, okay, you've got all this energy, so we need to stop that. All right? And we're going to give you all these drugs and we're going to suppress you to kind of conform to what we think you ought to be. You ought to be quiet. You ought to sit still. You ought to not tap your pen. And if we can't make you do that, we'll put you on some drugs and that'll make you do it. And here's the reality. We're made who we are on purpose. See, James McDonald, some of you may know who he is, he said in school growing up, that was him, the leg bouncer, the arm tapper, you know, the guy who punched his friend for no reason, like Tourette's, you know? And people wanted to suppress that in him, but look at who he is today. God said, I don't want you to change. I made you that way on purpose. And I'm going to take all of that energy and all of that excitement that no one can stop, and I'll use it for my kingdom. So don't change for a second who you are. I was the kid in class, this may shock you, who would not shut up. Shock, yeah. And so I would sit in class and I'd try so hard. But every time the teacher said something, I had a joke. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. So I'd say it, the class would laugh, ah, ha, ha, ha. And the teacher would say, Sean, another time, and you're going out. And I'd say, okay, shh. And then the teacher would be talking, like, I can't help it, and blah, and I'd say something else. And so I spent a lot of time in the office. My mom spent a lot of time talking to the principal. I couldn't be quiet. And some people would love for me to have shut up the rest of my life. Yet now I get paid to talk. Who knew? Look at verses 18 to 20. Paul says, was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision accounts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. See, during this time, you may well know that the Jewish believers, when they came to Christ, they had been circumcised under Mosaic law. And so when they came to Christ, they said, well, I don't want to be associated with the life and the law, so I want to remove these marks. Because I'm a Christian now. I don't live according to the law. I don't want to look like I lived according to the law. And they had a surgery that they could perform to do that, even back then. And the Gentiles came to Christ, they didn't have that mark. And they said, well, I lived a life of licentiousness. My life was not pretty in the past. I was a pagan. I was adulterous. I was idolatrous. And so, I want to have circumcision so I look like one of those guys. And Paul says, you guys are missing it. You don't need to go and try and look like them. And they don't need to try and look like you. You are who you are on purpose. And we see that. We see how the Jewish believers had such quick and easy access into the lives of other Jewish believers or other Jewish people. They could identify with them instantly. They knew what it was like. They knew how they had lived and how they were living. And they could identify. And same with the Gentile Christians. They could go and they could spend time with other Gentiles. And they knew where they were at. When I had come to Christ early on, I had a friend in Pennsylvania and I would spend time there, and their family invited me to go swimming in the summer, which was a few months away. And I remember it. I kid you not, I wanted to have my tattoos removed. I was a new believer. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to explain it. I didn't want to say what it meant. I didn't want to say why I got them. I was embarrassed. I don't feel that way now. I worked at a place called Joy Ranch, and we did an exercise together, and part of the exercise was the staff was asked, what would you change in your past? My mind immediately went to all of my regrets, the things I had done wrong. And I had a pretty tumultuous past, so I thought, well, I'd like to change some of that too, some of the tough times. And so we all went through, and myself included, and listed all the things we would change. And it got to one man who I had the pleasure of living with and serving with the whole time I was there. His name was Wes. And Wes calmly said, I wouldn't change a thing. Because everything back there made me who I am for now. And that's how Paul wants us to live. We are who we are on purpose. Thirdly, we are where we are on purpose. We are where we are on purpose. I worked at Trustco Bank years ago, and I was in training, management training, and part of that training included spending time at different branches under managers. And so I had gotten placed at Trustco Bank on Balltown Road, you know, that little one there, and I was under a manager, her name was Regia, and this lady was on fire for God. She was on fire. I was not walking with Christ. I had no desire to walk with Christ at that time. But I watched this woman live day in and day out on fire. It didn't matter what was happening. She wasn't on fire, but you know what I mean, for Christ. I would have put her out if she was on fire, but she was excited about God. She was excited about who she was in Christ. And it didn't matter what happened in the bank. It didn't matter if the market was going down, the market was going up, people were coming in for mortgages or not. She was excited. She came in with a smile. She left with a smile. And we had one day where there was a really nasty mess made. And I saw the mess and I thought, there is no way I'm touching that. And she, I remember, went over with a smile, put on rubber gloves, grabbed a mop, while all of us underlings sat there, we wouldn't touch it. Cleaned it with a smile. And I mean, this is the kind of person, you've seen this person, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? But it never left my mind. She had left the bank years ago, and I don't know why. And I don't know if she ever will know why she was there in the first place. I'm sure there was a lot of reasons. But one reason was there's a young man who had come to Christ because of her testimony. She never shared the gospel per se, but her life beamed it. And from that day forward began something in my heart. I want that. So you may say, I don't know why I'm where I am in my job. I need to change it. No, you don't. You don't need to change it. Because you're where you are on purpose. Look at what Paul says in verses 21 and 22. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. In other words, if you can become free, go become free. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when he was called is a slave of Christ. So the slaves, and that's not slavery. Okay, the Bible does not endorse slavery as we knew it. This is not early America slavery. Their slavery was completely different. They were paid. They were servants. They could buy themselves out. Many of them chose to stay with their masters because of the good treatment. It was not the slavery we know of. The Bible has never condoned that and never will. But in this case, it was more close to employment. and their eyes were, I'm a slave, so I need to be free in Christ so I can go over here and do this. Or I'm free, I'm an owner, I'm wealthy, so I need to get rid of that and become a slave to exhibit my humility. I need to make myself go to the bottom so that I can speak to those down there. Paul said, no. Because though you're a slave, you're free in Christ. Live there. And though you're free and wealthy, you're a slave of Christ. Live there. So you're where you are on purpose. I spent time with a gentleman yesterday morning. Great time. And he was sharing with me several things. I'm going to share a few with you this morning. But one is, he said, Sean, God made it very clear to me that I need to remain where I am because who else can access these people? Successful man, a man who knows successful people, people that I could never ring the doorbell of, say, hey, can we sit for coffee? But God has given him access to all of these people. Now, what if he woke up tomorrow on his own and said, I'm going to get rid of all that and I'm going to become poor? Well, now who's going to reach them? See, we're where we are on purpose. So, how do we live where we are? And how do we live as who we are appropriately? That's a good question. I'll answer for you. Number four, be who you are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. Now see, so it's not just be who you are. It's be who you are now in Christ. So, you have lots of energy? Great. Use that energy the way Christ would have you use that energy. For godliness. Do you like to talk? Use that for Christ. Do you have a sense of humor? Use it for Christ. We could plug and play all different things. But the bottom line is we need to be who we are in Christ now. Verse 23, the beginning, Paul says, you were bought with a price, which Peter talks about. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 19. I don't have a slide for it, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 19. And if you don't, just listen and you'll be able to follow along just fine. So here now Peter is speaking to these believers who are living in a crazy time. Lots of persecution. They're about to undergo more persecution than they've ever known. And he's writing to them and he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. See, there's parts of our lives that we lived in ignorance. God wants us to be who we are, but He doesn't want us to carry over those things. Leave your former ignorance behind. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You see, Peter is saying is you were ransomed, you were purchased by Christ. You belong to Him. Because of that, live like Him. Carry your personality over, but live like Him. That gentleman I spoke of shared with me yesterday. So he's been building homes since he was a teenager. And the other day I got to see some homes that he had, his first few homes, or the properties they were built on, and that was pretty cool. But he made it very clear that before he came to Christ, the reason he built homes was to prove that he could build homes. And if someone said, you can't do it, he was going to do it. And he was going to prove it. And he wanted the money. He had a drive. A drive that often comes with a temper. A passion, a power to push and to go. He said, that's who I was. And that's how I ended up getting to where I am. And then at 50 years old, came to Christ. And he said, something changed. He still has the passion. He still has the drive. But it's for different reasons. It's to serve God. It's to bless others. It's to see the kingdom grow. And though he's continued in his profession, he now does it with a heart of generosity and servanthood. God took the same man, didn't say, go do something else, said, stay where you are, and now do it my way. I've watched this gentleman's family change. His own heart change. Still the same guy, but in Christ. Last, Paul says, be where you are with God. Be where you are with God. As I said, I believe a lot of us experience restlessness. How do I live now? Okay, I'm where I am. How do I do this? Well, be like Christ. Okay, so I try to do that. But it's hard and I get stressed out and I feel like I can't do it sometimes. And I don't always know the right way to do things. And this person's telling me this and that person's telling me that. What do I do? Be where you are with God. Verse 24, Paul says, so brothers, in whatever condition each was called, so wherever you are, whoever you are, remain there, let him remain there with God. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says in verses 14 to 19, Ephesians 3, 14 to 19, Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. For what reason? The gospel had been revealed to him. He'd been called to share the gospel. He's a new creation in Christ. He shares the whole story of who God is, how God has called us, the peace he gives us. And he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We'll go through that line real quick one more time. That he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. How much of that are you doing? None. You're letting it be done. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, trust, belief, that you, being rooted and grounded in love for Christ, for others, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We're called to be who we are in Christ. Yeah. And as we are trying to be that person, we need to be there with God so that His strength can rise up in our inner being. So that we can have His fullness to do the things that He wants us to do, to be the person He's called us to be. There's no formula for this. I can't give you a grid. Some of you would like that. Here's how you do this. It's totally relational. And for each one of us, God has a relationship that He wants to walk in with us. He wants to show each of us how to be holy. He wants to show each of us how to rest in Him, how to be where we are. And we can only do that by abiding. And gentleman yesterday shared with me his, which was really great. I took a lot from it. His daily plan of how he keeps a balance in his life. Now, I don't do all of those things that he does. And I thought, but I was listening. Man, this is really great. This is how God has helped him to be who he's called to be. And I did go to sleep last night listening to Dr. Stanley. As a result of our conversation. So he told me he listens to preachers on his way to sleep, so I tried it. It was great. Although, while I was dreaming, Dr. Stanley came out and said, now watch this now. But, you know, if you've heard him, you know what I'm talking about. Watch this now. So, well, God has called us to contentment. And as I mentioned in opening, the way I believe we're going to be content is ultimately all that I've said is two things. Trust and obey. Trust that He made you who you are and He put you where you are. Now, obey who He's called you to be and where He wants you to go.